It's not what we wanted. We wanted to be talking about going to Indianapolis this year. Repeat, black and gold back in the Big Ten Championship game. It's not going to be that. It's going to be the wrong color, black and gold. Purdue will instead take that spot because Nebraska played spoiler on Black Friday. We're going to talk about how they did that, why they did that. The Hawks finished at 7-5. Everybody's sad. Let's have a little bit of therapy together. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Watch Up, Walk Ons fans. Episode 372 of the most somber podcast of all time. Things could not have gone worse, boys and girls. I have nothing to say. That was painful in every single way and an absolute dipe shit. So, Kluver, Kevin, I'll let you guys analyze that one. That hurt.
Should we just wrap this one up?
I mean, what else is there to say? They shit their diaper. They're not going to the Big Ten title game. They lost the Heroes Trophy for the first time in 8 years. They let us all down, and that's really all there is to say.
I wish I had the outro music on the board. I could just hit it. We could all just, I could just fade the screen to black, and we'd just be like, all right, well, there we go. There's the season. Disappointing one. Boys are not going to be in Indianapolis. The boys meeting us or the boys meeting the Hawks. You could talk about whether they deserve to be there at 8-4, hypothetically or not anyway. Nonetheless, Purdue's going. They got the same record as us. So someone had to go. Talk about Michigan in a second. Beating the piss out of Ohio State.
Second year in a row.
And I thought Michigan was probably the better matchup for Iowa.
They are.
And doesn't matter now because the Nebraska Cornhuskers decided to play one game this year, and it was the one versus us.
Dude, we were down 24-0 to a 3-8 Nebraska team.
Yes, that's correct.
At home.
At home.
On senior day. With the Big Ten West on the line. We are down 24-0 to Nebraska.
Damn near brought it back, too. Tried. If you guys have a place you want to start, freely jump in. I guess for me, the initial reaction here is obviously sad. You can hear it in our voice. I don't know if Kevin, Drake, and I are as how's a good way to put it? Emotionally, and I think there's probably a small percentage of emotional investment that dies a little bit because of the because of what level of emotional investment we were at one point. It was 100% of what it possibly could be for a human. And so now as each year we go further and further away from us being the ones with the names on the back of the jerseys, probably dies a little bit. So, you know, bet your ass it hurts more for Jack Campbell than it hurts for me. I know that for sure. Still hurts for us. Hurts for you guys as fans. Sucks to lose.
It just sucks when you go out and play so uninspired with such a important thing on the line.
Yeah. I think what's a little bit confusing / surprising is the way in which we lost the game. And that is that very, very rarely the boys would have to help me on this one. Does Iowa play sloppy football? Sometimes we don't get the other team to play sloppy, right? That's like Michigan this year. We played Michigan. We didn't necessarily play sloppy football, but Michigan played real clean and did what they needed to do to control that game against us. Ohio State, although even if we would have played clean, it'd be hard to beat those guys. We played sloppy football. I think we had 6 turnovers in that game.
Yikes.
But we played sloppy against a team that really shouldn't be able to force us into a sloppy football game. A team that we should be able to control, manage turnovers, manage special teams miscues, manage penalties against. I don't know if I'm having a fucking heart attack or what, but I have some fucking serious pain right now. Oh my God, am I sad?
Be interesting if you had a heart attack on the podcast,
dude. It feels like I have this pain right now that is like
would be bad for the fitness brand
in my side, all the way up to my shoulder. Oh my God,
Tyler Kluwer Fitness, give you a heart attack.
Heart attack at 28.
Oh fuck, it doesn't feel good, boys. Thoughts on the sloppiness? I don't know. Kevin, somebody talk. This actually fucking hurts.
Yeah. I think it doesn't take a genius to understand what happened on the defensive side of the ball. We were exceptionally thin at cornerback, and we had a fourth string cornerback out there, you know. Obviously, Jamari Harris and Terry Roberts being out, our two second-string guys, really solid quarterbacks, not being available today and most of the season. And as soon as one of our first-stringers and Cooper goes out, then, you know, kind of just got to throw whoever you got left on the bench out there. And obviously, Nebraska was very well aware of who was out there, and there's like, okay, why would we go against 10 really solid dudes when we can isolate the most isolatable, I don't know if that's a word, but the most isolatable position on the whole damn field and just work that position all day long. And that's what they did. So, I mean, honestly, if I was a coaching staff, I wouldn't do anything different. But they turned it into basically a 1v1 game that we were not in any position to win.
Kev, did we put Riley on him at one point?
No. So what we were doing is, and this is how I would do it too, is we were putting Riley to the field.
Okay.
And we were putting, you know, once Jameson Hines got put in there, we were putting him to the boundary because okay. It is more common for our field side cornerback to be playing more of a man type technique and our boundary cornerback to be playing more of a zone type technique. We play split coverage most of the time at Iowa.
Okay.
And so they tried to hide him that way. So he was mostly playing cover two in the flat. But the thing is, like, no matter where you line up a cornerback, there's ways to get him isolated where he's got to either carry a guy vertical or he's one-on-one in the flat. It's a very, very hard to hide up a weakness at that position. It's damn near impossible. The only way you really, in theory, could do it is if you're playing cover one all day, and instead of telling the safety, you have deep middle of the field helping everyone out. You are basically
cover zero for everybody except for the safety and that boundary corner.
Correct. And that's just not something we've ever done at Iowa.
Well, and I tried to talk about
the argument like this is an extreme circumstance that could have maybe been
warranted.
Yeah, exactly. But that's just never something we've ever done. And it's very risky for the rest of the defense, right? Because, you know, despite Nebraska trying to make it a one-on-one ball game, they've got guys on the entire field who, you know, every now and then will beat the guy across from them. And if you lose in cover zero, that's a touchdown too. So
if you lose in cover zero,
I'm telling you is that we had no good options or Phil had no good options on defense as to what to call.
Yeah,
they tried to hide up the vulnerability as best they could, and you know, it showed that that's just an impossible position to hide up.
Attrition showed. People are going to be fully tented for this, Kevin. People love the X's and O's. We've had a few segments over the past couple weeks where you, not intentionally, but it's just there's just been opportunities for you to kind of dive into. It's not like you're going into crazy deep technical analysis here, but just deeper than the average fan kind of works it through their mind. And so I love this out of you. I want to go back real quick. I have to imagine the other. So we put Riley to the field side. Just so happens that, like you said, we in our defense, the field side is a little bit more man-ish than the boundary side of the field. There's also just as far as space, it's just more room to cover, right? So,
yeah, of course.
So, you know, Hines, I think they made that switch at the same time that they put Hines in for TJ.
Correct. Yeah.
Or around that same time. So I don't want to take anything away from Hines, but I saw him a couple times get lucky too. And it was like, boy, we are truly thin. I think a lot of people forgot about Jermari Harris and Terry because they just haven't played. And
number six had his welcome to college moment, and it was pretty unfortunate to watch.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw something I didn't, but
I mean, yeah, they're both like, I'm pretty sure the first time we've ever seen them out there on the field.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw something.
And that's what a good offense does. Like, I got a new defensive back coming into the game. I believe TJ Hall's a true freshman.
I think so, yeah.
I'm coming after that kid 10 times out of 10.
Yeah. Especially with your receiver who just set the season record for receiving. I mean, kid's making plays all year. Now he's got a kid who's never played before.
I was going to say they that kid's not exactly like a slouch either. Like, he's probably an NFL-ish talent.
I mean, he's their all-time leading receiver for a season.
Yeah. We're going to get you guys back to the show in just a second, but first we want to let you guys know about our title sponsor, DRF Sports. ia.drf.com. I'll say it again, ia.drf.com to sign up and start playing now and cashing in with DRF Sportsbook. They are Iowa's sportsbook. They are kind of like the walk-ons. They got that walk-on mentality. They're the little guy trying to make a name for themselves, and they're doing a hell of a job. We're helping each other grow each other's brands. They have some of the best sign-up bonuses, sign up promos, deposit matches, you know, first bet promotions in the game. You're going to get at least one of those when you sign up, and you can start cashing in right now. You can also go visit the official DRF Sportsbook in person at Lakeside Hotel and Casino in Osceola during the season as well. Be sure to listen to our Thursday episodes, the preview episodes, where we will feature our walk-ons times DRF collabs, where we choose a bet each week to boost the odds and see if we can't all make a little green. Shout out to DRF for being an incredible sponsor, incredible people, and helping us here at the Walk-Ons. It was but 2 years ago when the Walk-Ons were searching for somebody to handle their merchandise. We found a company, we did our first merch run, and it all went down the drain because we found somebody that wasn't like AdCraft, that didn't operate like they do at AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. And thank God we found the people at AdCraft, because ever since then, since we started working with this beautiful company from Clinton, everything we've done has been smooth, has been fast, has been quality, and they take care of a lot of headaches that the Washed Up Walk-Ons, our brand, would otherwise have to deal with, and we don't want to have to think about those things. Their customer service, their warehouse staff, their design team, the speed at which they get things done, their ability to handle sports teams and companies and brands like ours. They can do it all, and if you have custom merchandise and apparel needs, or you just have an idea for a t-shirt that might sell a little bit, hit up AdCraft, adcraftwebstores.com. I promise, the walk-on promise, that you are going to be satisfied with what they can do for you. AdCraft, custom apparel and merchandise. Yeah.
Yeah, so this basically what I'm getting at is this is a completely different ball game. There's literally no way to say for sure how it turns out, but if Cooper DeJean is healthy and is playing this entire game, completely different ball game. Like, it's probably a lot more like those games we've been playing the last 4 or 5 weeks where the defense keeps it close. I mean, the offense is what it is. But I guarantee you, we don't give up. I think we give up 330 yards. I think, I shit you not, at least half of them were to the side of the field that we, that Cooper avoided with his injury, you know?
On the Cooper injury, I mean, sometimes a big dog gets put down.
Watching it live, man, it didn't look like that hard of a hit, but just like maybe caught him in the chin. Did you just see something different on TV?
I saw the exact same thing. It wasn't a blindside. Like, he definitely saw it in his peripheral.
Right, he saw it. He was bracing for it, and
he was taking on the block that he clearly saw coming to him. The guy just brought the juice, and I think he just hit him square in the right spot. And
sometimes that happens, right? You know, sometimes like I've caught a crown of the helmet to the temple, and yeah, that's just it, right? Sometimes you catch one on the chin, and that's just it. It doesn't have to be that hard of a hit.
Football's
I speak more to that than I was either of us to. But
there's a couple buttons there that you just have to touch.
Yeah,
and you turn off.
And it was scary, man, because he looked like he was out cold on the field.
Out cold, dude.
I mean, it doesn't even take an expert. Like, Lauren sat there and goes, "Is he asleep?" And I said,
"Yeah,
I think he's out."
Yeah.
When your superhero goes down, it's not great for the morale of the team.
Dude, and we just had to watch Tristan go out too, dude. It's just, football is a bitch of a game. It's just eating up our friends.
By the way, I saw a tweet that said the Tristan's injury might not be as bad as it was initially expected. So
really,
said he was awesome. Said he was up walking around in a boot in the locker room.
Yeah. Prayers for our big man.
Anyway, Cooper goes out. We're playing with 10. I mean, my guy TJ got some great learning experience when
Did he though, or does he now just think he absolutely fucking stinks?
Sucks ass. In 6 years, when he graduates and he's either in the NFL or he's done playing, someone's going to have him on a podcast, hopefully us, and they're going to ask him, "Hey, what was your welcome to the Big Ten moment?" And he's going to say, "Well, boys, I got one for you. They put me in. I shouldn't have been in. They had an NFL receiver, and they said, hey, we're going to him." Kev, do you see on those two plays? So he obviously scored. What's that guy's name? Trey Palmer,
I think. Yeah.
They ran a post route in the red zone too to score their second touchdown, or his second touchdown. On both of those plays, is that?
It's on the cornerback.
It's on the corner. They're. Yeah.
As far as I can see, yes, unless it was just an egregiously blown coverage, which is uncharacteristic, and that didn't seem like it for me. I think the first one, he just straight up got beat. The second one, he looked like kind of unsure of himself and got beat. And then, you know, Phil had seen enough after that and had to make a change and go with Jameson.
So it was my opinion that he got a little bit surprised by the speed of the game on the first play.
I don't know, man. You know, sometimes when guys just get tossed into a situation, sometimes like your heart's beating out of his chest before you, and it's like, holy shit, I'm playing in the game right now.
I get it.
Yeah, it could be. And you're right. There's no way to mimic game speed in practice. There's just no way. I don't care if you're going 1v1s. In game is just, for some reason, exponentially faster. I don't know if he feels that way because of the adrenaline, or if that's just the way
feel, I think our minds are just racing so fast and we're trying to be so perfect that everything just feels to be just in fast forward.
On that first one, it looked like he started to carry him vertical. And as he kind of kept his eye on the quarterback and then he peeked back at Palmer, he realized, oh, fuck, he's carrying me more vertical than the last five steps I've taken. I'm burnt. Like, that's just what it looked like. And I believe the safety to his side on that play was Schulte. And somebody asked me on the post-game radio show, are we sure that Schulte wasn't supposed to have, like, over-the-top coverage?
No, I don't believe it was.
Was it not?
Memory serves me correctly. Or was TJ was to the field when we were playing quarters coverage. Schulte's playing cover two on the backside. You saw him chasing at the end there just because he had no other work on his side of the field. But that's not – the field side post is not his responsibility.
Regardless of who it was, whatever safety's on that side was not supposed to have that receiver.
Correct. So you got two verticals to the field side, and you're playing quarters coverage. The safety has the number two vertical. The corner has the outside vertical, which in this case is the number one receiver.
That's what I thought.
That's, yeah.
After the first one happens, Kev, do we not make a change because Phil trusts his guys?
I mean, it's one play, right? You're going to pull a kid for one play. He got beat. You know, he didn't like make a mental error. It was like, I can't trust this guy. He got beat on a route, right?
Right.
Beat by a fast receiver. It's just, you know, come off to the side and think, hey, this guy's fast. He's a good player. Give him some room. Stay on top of the motherfucker, right?
Right. Because the hindsight 2020 is like, once he does it a second time, you're like, well, why didn't we do that after the first one, motherfucker?
I mean, hindsight 2020, man. I don't know. Like, we didn't exactly put the the best athlete in to replace him. You know, like I said previously, there's no way to hide a glaring weakness at that position. There's just really no good way to do it.
Yeah, and you actually, I'm dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to schematics. But on the radio show, I said something similar to your guys' idea of cover zero minus the safety who's helping the corner. And I said, well, I'm sure there's a way that we can shift help over. You know, it's like enacting the slide in baseball where they slide all the, but
it's called the shift.
I mean, but say it, Drake. Just I know that you wanted that insult to come out of your mouth. Say what you're gonna say.
You're a swine.
Okay, the shift in baseball where you slide everything over. But hey, guess what happens when you put the shift into play? Now there's a massive hole in the defense, and that's going to be similar to how it works in football as well. If I'm not mistaken, we've talked about how Ohio State, their defensive scheme is a lot of man, right?
Exactly. And
we saw how that worked out.
Interior opponents, right? And when you're just manned up all day versus other good athletes, you can sometimes get exposed. You know, it happened versus Michigan this week. Yep. It's happened in years past. I remember, I think maybe the last time they went to the playoff, they got annihilated by Clemson. And it's because if you know you're going against man all day long, you can call so many routes that are just so hard to cover, to cover man to man, like rub routes, pick routes, crossers. Rotate, run some motion across guys to flat, you know, having guys come through a whole lot. Like it's easy if you have the athletes to beat it. Right.
Right.
And that's why we don't at Iowa, we don't really adhere to that philosophy. Right. We think we've showed over the last dozen years that our way of doing things works.
Yeah.
If you have four capable DBs in the game,
which we are lacking. We're lacking at this point.
You know, and I don't even blame the guys that we threw in the game. They did the best they could. It was just,
gave great effort.
Right. You're throwing really green kids into a really tough situation.
Yeah. As far as the overall outlook goes, when you combine, so now we're short at DB, they're attacking us. God, it felt like another senior day that we were a part of. Fuck me. And now our offense turns the ball over in their territory, our own territory. We give Nebraska two short fields. Let me see if I can find it on the play-by-play here. So our third drive, we go three and out punt, six plays punt. Our third drive, we got second and seven at our own 39. Spencer gets sacked. And on that sack, he not only suffers an injury that knocks him out of the game, but he fumbles the ball as well. And they pick it up at our 31-yard line. Now, fortunately, our defense forces a field goal there, but that's 3 points that's on our offense, right? I mean, they're probably kicking a field goal there, even if they get no yards. So you're turning it over. You're playing sloppy. Again, we go punt, punt, punt. End of half, 17-0. It's looking bad.
We fumbled again second quarter.
Oh, shit, you're right. I went down too far. So we fumble again after a 13-play drive. I mean, shit, we're down at the 29. We got a chance to at least kick a field goal. And
we were running the ball pretty effectively. You know, yeah. We're getting 4 or 5 yards, chunk play here and there. You know, Brian, you know, when we had to make the switch to Padilla, Brian kind of just said, fuck it.
Yep.
We're going to go 22 personnel. And
it was a beautiful thing to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, did you see we had six offensive linemen?
Yeah, we had six offensive linemen and a fullback in the game. That's some beautiful damn football.
And we were
for 4 yards of carry.
Stuffing it. We were stuffing it.
Yeah.
And on play 13, almost, I mean, it was eerily.
I mean, the quarterback center exchange should just not be a problem at this level of football. We dropped a snap, had to fall on it. And then we can't handle a snap in the shotgun. You know, he collects himself, and all of a sudden there's a guy on top of him, and he fumbles it. And I think the next they go and score 2 plays later.
3 plays, yeah. Incomplete pass, a run for 6 yards.
A bullshit pass interference call. That ball is thrown to Tim Buck, too. I don't know how you get balls to throw a flag on that one.
And Phil was very adamant about that. He was screaming.
God, the entire staff was irate over that one.
That was
the guy's running a post, and Casey Thompson throws it to the back corner of the end zone, even near in the same damn area code. And somehow we draw a flag on that one. Next play, they score a touchdown.
And it's just such a margin game, right? And this is what I'm talking about, where Iowa usually wins at these types of things. And I'm not saying that they threw the flag, right? If the zebra throws a flag, if Drake doesn't get out there to shoot all the zebras and they're still there and they throw the flag, then it's a penalty. But if they don't throw that penalty, it's now 4th and 4, and they're probably kicking another field goal. Instead, that's a 15-yard penalty. They go from our 33 down to our 18, and on that next play is where Trey Palmer gets his second touchdown on the young quarterback. And we're down bad. We're down bad at that point. It's 17-0. And there's nothing going. And you think, hey, cool, halftime, we're in Kinnick, right? They're going to get the ball, but our defense will come out. They'll do their thing. We're going to change this thing around. This is where we start to win in the margins, right? Let's make some special teams plays. Let's take care of the football. Let's start grinding this out. Let's get on the board. And we muff a fucking punt.
Bro, tell me this isn't our senior day. You got one corner who's getting beat by a damn good receiver, and we muff a punt. And, I mean, all the same shit happened our senior day.
It's unbelievable. It almost hurt in a PTSD way.
Seriously, man.
So now our defense comes out, does exactly what they are asked to do. But hey, guess what? You're going back out on the field and they've got the ball at the 18. I mean, it's tough to win games like that, boys. Palmer runs it for 7. Grant, who's a pretty good running back, I actually think he's a decent running back, runs it for 3. Casey Thompson complete to Marcus Washington, 14-yard touchdown. Three plays. And it's 24-0. And it's 3 minutes into the third quarter. And it's just, like Drake said, like the corn suckers got us down three scores in our own home stadium.
We got our backup quarterback.
We have a backup tight end.
Our best offensive player in Sam LaPorta is not in the game.
Arguably, our most productive defensive player is out. And
we don't really have great backup replacements there. It's was looking at my brother and my dad. It's like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to stick around for the end of this one.
We also, by the way,
you know what? We just got some beers. We'll stay until we finish them. And kudos to them, man. They came out and they responded on offense. They actually go out there with a nice 75-yard drive, and it's like, okay, we got some energy back in this place. We'll stick around.
And once again, Caleb Johnson proves to be a bright spot for the offense and shows that he is, for at least, you know, as he continues to be who he is and hopefully grow as a running back, he is going to be a highlight of the Iowa Hawkeye offensive attack. He is a talented player. He can run away from people. He can run over people.
And I'll give credit to Brian on this one. They ran a nice little scheme play. Pull the center around and kick out the cornerback, get a guy up on the inside linebacker, and there's a nice little seam for Caleb to go. Brian had a solid plan of attack in the run game. It just so happened that this wasn't going to be a fortuitous game for us to just run the ball and grind clock. You know, when you're down 24 in the second half, we can't be having 7 minute drives to score touchdowns. And down your quarterback, down your best offensive receiver.
Put it this way.
We're fighting with one arm.
The offense this year is hardly built to win at all. And when you're down 24, it definitely ain't built to come back from that. So punt, 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 and then our offense gets the ball, and shit, we go 9 plays, 90 yards. I mean, holy hell, here we come. It's 24-14. We're throwing the ball
and
around.
There's energy in the stadium now. Like, there's juice, and first play, next drive, fumble. Recover. And the place is going wild. And me and my brother and my dad were looking like, oh my God, it's going to happen. It's like, we said getting the second half, Nebraska's going to have to Nebraska for us to win this game. And we just look at each other like, this might be it. This might be
how we make
the comeback happen here.
And this is maybe the only saving grace is, Searles is texting me and Drake during this. He says, here we go. Like, this is how they're going to do it. Nebraska is going to do it again. My wife is sitting there up 10 as a Nebraska fan with like 7 minutes to go or whatever it was in the, when we hadn't scored the field goal yet. And she goes,
6 minutes left. By the way, there should have been 6:40 left because 1 second.
Every Nebraska fan, this is the only saving grace. Every Nebraska fan until zeros hit the clock still felt like they were going to lose that football game because they are scarred from the way that they play football in Lincoln.
We should have had 40 more seconds on the clock, right? So we score a touchdown with 6:49.
Yeah.
They run that play. They don't review it until there's like 2 seconds left on the play clock and that Iowa actually had the ball.
Right.
Well, if it's a turnover, the game clock stops.
Should
have had 6:40 instead of 6 minutes. And I'm like, that 40 seconds is going to come back to haunt us. Didn't really, but it might have changed things up a little bit.
So we get that fumble. We go 4 plays. We're not able to. God, it would have been nice.
Basically, fuck the refs, all right? They kind of sucked one off this game.
Yeah, they weren't great. We get a field goal, and hey, we're within one, and we're giving them the ball with 5:40. It's a one-score ball game. We're putting our defense out there against them with 5 minutes, 40 seconds left on the clock. And holy shit.
They go 3 and out.
They go 3 and out.
By a fucking RCH. We get him to 3rd and 17.
Oh, that's the one where Hines grabs his shirt.
Just fucking everything he's got just brings him down just a hair short of the first down. I thought they were going to go for it, honestly. I would have respected that.
Palmer was pissed they didn't. He was fucking livid. Palmer came off the sideline.
He was ready to fight somebody on the sideline.
He was yelling at his coaches. He was yelling at the other players. He was fucking pissed because he wanted to go for it. And honestly,
maybe, but you know, I think you gotta know who you're going against on the other side of the ball. I think
you're right. Regardless, they punt it to us, and we get the ball at the 22. And again, we scored the last one, right? We went 9 plays, 90 yards. How often is our offense going to be able to do that? Well, the question or the answer is about half the time, because this time we can't put it together. I will say, I think this is where we get the pass incomplete to Arlen Bruce that I think on the replay was a catch, and they overturned it to be an incomplete. It was really, really close, but we didn't have enough. We didn't have enough juice to get it done on this one, and we run that play clock, or we run this all the way down to 2 minutes and 6 seconds left. Again, we go 3 and out. They're just trying to escape Kinnick with their lives at this point. They run. They give it back to us. We have 1 minute, 5 seconds on the clock. And or maybe that was where the Arlen Bruce pass happened. Regardless, we're not able to.
I believe it was the last. I want to say it was the last.
I think it might have been on that one. But regardless, it doesn't pan out. They kneel it and they win the game 24-17. Clock runs out on the Hawks.
And I have to go watch Nebraska Cornhuskers be happy, which, you know, I think I don't know if I said it before we recorded the last podcast with Searles or during it. But like I said, you know, the Nebraska being bad jokes kind of run out. You know, it's not even really that funny anymore. I completely regret ever saying that because I hate them, their fan base, and I hate the idea of anyone in the Nebraska Cornhuskers program ever being happy about anything in their entire life.
Yeah, same. Honestly, same.
So that made me want to puke.
Sloppy football game. That's the play-by-play, sort of. In the end, like Kevin said, you know, we give up 329 yards of offense. Not horrible, but certainly could have been better. Certainly could have been a different game if –
I mean, again, this is a completely different ball game with our healthy defense out there.
Yeah.
And I think the game that we had schemed up on offense plays a lot better. You know, Brian was grinding clock and moving the ball, running the ball.
If we're not down 2 touchdowns.
If we're not down 24 points, right?
Yeah. I agree.
You know, and it's just sad because I really admire the senior class. It's been really fun to watch them over the last 3-4 years. I really wanted them to cap off their senior year, especially by booking themselves a ticket to Indy. I really wanted Spencer to have a great game, his last game in Kinnick.
That was sad. Yeah.
Yeah, it was sad to see him kind of struggle in the beginning and then obviously get hurt and not be able to finish his last game. Losing hurts, right? Losing a Big Ten football game just straight up, it hurt by itself.
Bad.
Hurts bad. Because that's all you're working for that week is everything that week is dedicated towards winning that game. So it hurts. Losing a trophy game really hurts.
Yeah.
Watching another team run over and take the trophy that was in your building for the last.
That was a double trophy game. Years. They had the West trophy in the building too.
Yeah.
I'm getting that, right? Watching a team take a trophy that you've had in your building for the last 8 years hurts even worse, right?
Yep.
Watching a team do that to you on your senior day really fucking hurts.
Yep.
Losing a Big Ten football game on your senior day, trophy game that's been in the building for the last 8 years, and you missed out on a chance to go to Indianapolis, like you won and you're in. Boys, if I was on that football team, I'd be on suicide watch.
I was just going to say, if you were on that.
They'll be thinking about it for the rest of their lives. Just like we think about when LJ Scott scored they'll be thinking about this for the rest of their lives.
I wish that you were wrong, Drake, but
I'm not.
But you're not wrong.
You're not.
That
so man, I feel for these guys because that is a freaking tough one to swallow. And I know the fans are upset, but again, I will say it every single time the Hawks lose on this podcast, those guys are fucking devastated. Like absolutely fucking devastated.
With what you said there, Kev, where you were like, if I was on this football team, I was gonna finish it off with, you might not be on that football team anymore. Because you might not be alive. It's a good thing they weren't staying at the JW Marriott in Indianapolis after that one.
24 floors up.
22 right. Floors up. Oh, fuck.
Might have to test the safety glass.
And honestly.
I feel bad for these guys because they did really battle back this year after.
They did. I mean, four games of just absolute fuck you to everybody. We're playing for us. We're coming for this thing. If we win five and get lucky, hey, holy shit, we can actually make a trip to Indy. And then, you know, the game is sort of like a micro example of how the entire season went, where it, you know, things just didn't pan out. You know, and that's. It's tough. It's really tough. Huge scene.
You know what else sucks is I was talking to my brother Ryan about this on the way out to the stadium. He's like, you know what really sucks? These guys have to stay around here for the weekend because they have to watch the Illinois and the Purdue game because they might still be going.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you were planning on sticking around this weekend too. Like usually, okay. For the fans out there, if we're not going to Indy, day after Nebraska game, everyone goes home, right?
Gone.
See your family that you haven't got to spend a whole lot of time with for the last 4 months or so. Everyone goes home. These guys got to come in, sit around, think about the opportunity that they squandered, and hope that two teams just suck it off so that they can still have a chance to go to the Big Ten championship. I'm like, that's just another day that you just have to sit and think about what just happened.
Can you think of a real life, like a real world example of such a vulnerable fuck up or I don't want to say failure again because he's a young guy, but like such a, just a, you know, welcome to moment in the real world. Comparable to like what TJ went through the other day. Like I just think about what these guys go through and some of the things that these young men, and why is college sports at a high level so crafting and so molding of young people? And why does it breed successful people? There's definitely some bad things that it breeds too, but
suicidal thoughts and feelings.
Joints that hurt for the rest of your life. CTE, other stuff. But think about that. Everybody else gets to go home. They get to bust open a new bag of Cheeto Puffs, talk about how the Hawks suck, Brian sucks, no accountability. They don't have to take any accountability. There's no film of the, to watch of them on the couch for that day to admire how they cracked open their Sprite.
I would love to do like a little film breakthrough, breakdown of like fans like, what the fuck is this? It's third down. You're sitting down. You're not yelling at the top of your lungs right now. That's fucking bullshit. Okay. That's a loaf.
Holy shit. We got a minus here, right? This guy went to the fridge. It's third and three. What the fuck is this guy doing? All right.
Look at this guy over here in section 125. We're just coming out at halftime. Where's he at? He's taking a piss. Okay. 69,000 people packed in that stadium. What are we doing here?
Like this guy calls himself a fucking fan. He took a phone call, started the fourth quarter. Didn't even catch the first.
Look at this guy. Look at this guy. He's clapping, right? We need him to be clapping without gloves. We need it to be loud. All right, that's the little details here that add up. That's the little detail that we get coached in. You know, your exact foot placement, hand placement, alignment to the detail, to the you know, inches, right?
And yeah,
and you're right. Yeah, the fans don't have to.
And what I was getting at is TJ goes back into the building knowing that film gets put on the fucking
dog. That has to be a lonely walk. That kid had to have been making a lonely walk around this planet in his mind. Oh, I don't
know.
No worse feeling watching film of you fucking up and letting your teammates down.
I want to
in front of your teammates.
And
sometimes the coaches are just like, I mean, there's not a whole lot to coach here. You know what you did wrong.
Exactly.
There's nothing really to say here. And that's just the worst feeling ever.
You've never been sicker.
And TJ knows this. I hope TJ doesn't ever listen to this. If you are listening to this, TJ, turn it off. Because this is for the fans. I'm trying to relate to the fans here. This kid and a lot of these guys on a weekly basis has their brothers relying on them to do serious shit, win Big Ten football games, has 70,000 fans in Kinnick and hundreds of thousands of fans at home who spend their entire day cheering for them. And then when you fuck up, and it's as blatant as TJ or some of the other stuff that happens, and you know how important and pivotal that was to the outcome, to the result, and what you have to do is keep your chin up, walk in, take it on the chin again when they just chew your ass apart, and it's even worse if it goes down like Kevin said, hey, there's not much you can do here. You know what you need to do. You have to be better. And it's like, we're not angry. We're just disappointed. It's like one of those.
Oh, I'd much rather coach be yelling at me than if
Phil was just like, Kevin, you know what you did wrong.
You know you fucked up. Can't.
Everybody in here knows what you did wrong. I mean, just these kids, it's so – and it's the guys who have that shit happen to them and then come back with a vengeance. They do everything they can. They do all the film work. They do all the footwork, the drills in the off season, and they get better. And then they're faced with the same kind of moments again at some point further down the line in their career, and they fucking triumph. They succeed. Next time TJ's in that position, they throw the ball. They're like, I'm picking on this guy. I saw the Nebraska tape, and TJ picks it off. That's the kind of shit that makes amazing, high-performing, just elite humans. And it's like – but to some people, they crumble. Some people crumble. And some people don't make it. And that is the kind of pressure and, like, height of performance that we're talking about here. And the emotions that these kids have to deal with.
Right. And I'll reiterate, man. I don't put – a whole lot of blame on TJ or on Jameson.
Yeah, me either.
Like I said, there's a lot of men out there playing college football. These are young kids, you know.
Kids.
The transition from an 18-year-old freshman to a 23, I mean, shit, we got 25-year-olds out there playing college football these days. That's a fucking world of a difference, right?
Huge.
They got thrown in a shitty situation.
Let me tell you about.
You know, we ask them, say, like, hey, next man in, we need you to perform to our standard. Sometimes, you know, people just aren't ready, right?
And it's as simple as that.
That's so there, about this game.
So there will be no Hawks in the Big Ten Championship preview. There will be no Indy meetup. There will be no of the fun that we had last year. And that's all right. That's all right. Podcast will move on. We'll talk about other things. Well, maybe. You're right. Maybe. I don't know if you're staying in the Marriott tonight or not. We'll talk about championship weekend. And we'll talk about bowl season whenever that shit gets announced. And we'll keep chugging along. I don't have anything else. 47 minutes. I don't know if there's a whole lot more to talk about. The Hawks finished 7-5 on the year.
What bowl are we going to?
Duke's Mayo Bowl, maybe Music City Bowl.
I've heard three.
That would piss me off. If you guys,
that would piss me off too. Right? What? Like, we lost you there, Drake.
Saying it would piss me off. We ended up in Nashville, and I just moved out of Nashville.
It would piss me off because I've been wanting to go to the Music City Bowl for a while, and I'm not going to be able to go this year. Yeah. So if we went this year, I'd be a little upset.
I am not going to make it to any bowl game because I'm going to have a baby, which is – boys, we're getting close. We're getting real fucking close.
Let me tell you what, I'm not envious.
I'm excited as hell, but it's real. It's about to be more real than Trey Palmer running past TJ Hall. Like, it's going to be real. I've heard Pinstripe, I've heard Music City, I've heard Duke's Mayo. Those are the three I've heard.
We should go to the Mayo Bowl. Our season was a big hunking jar of mayonnaise.
I agree. It fits. And by the way, the winner of that game, the head coach, gets a tub of mayonnaise dumped on him.
I don't think KF's going to love that.
I'm already cringing for KF if that happens.
Who? Can you imagine being the player who dumping it on him, right?
I wouldn't do it. I would not.
You better be a senior.
Yeah, damn right. It better be a senior.
It's got to be like Monty. It's got to be Monty, and it's just got to be a joke. Like, it has to be a joke. Like, I don't know. We'll talk about that shit when it comes out. There's nothing much more to say here. I want to end with this. I've got several DMs from my personal account and the walk-ons account that said something along the lines of, was another great season following you guys. Thanks for the content that you continue to put out. You guys have become a staple of Hawkeye football season, and you're a part of the experience, which is crazy. That, like, when football season rolls around, people expect part of their experience to be, hey, the tailgates, we're going to Kinnick, we're going to listen to the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Like, that is fucking stupid, right? That is nuts. But it is reality for a lot of you. And you've not only talked about that reality ongoing, but you have said thank you. And you've also mentioned, several of you, that we have changed your perspective as a fan of how to take losses and be more rational and think about the players and some of the stuff that we talked about today, and humanize them a little bit more, and don't just say dumb shit on social media that doesn't make any sense just because it makes you feel better. And that is crazy as well, that our perspective has sort of guided the behavior of fans and into a more logical and less emotionally stressed way of thinking. So that's crazy. And we want to thank you guys for being with us for another year. Obviously the year's not over, but
hey, how about 4 years doing this now, huh?
Over 4 years. Yeah. We passed 4 years about 6 weeks ago. We're going to donate $25,000 to the Children's Hospital in about a week or two.
Feels good.
And we're going to roll into 2020. Man. We're going to roll into 2023, and we're going to keep bringing you guys the content. But we just,
I didn't think we'd make it past 10 episodes, to be honest with you.
Do you remember?
Well, here's episode 372.
Do you remember, like, 150? I was just thinking about this. Like, 150 episodes in, we were still saying, like, we don't know what we're doing, but, and we stopped saying that somewhere along the line because we do kind of know what we're doing.
One of us does.
I just show up.
Patreon.com/washedupwalkons if you want more of the three dickheads.
That's where the rubber meets the road, boys. Yeah.
And it might be a dickhead Tuesday of all Tuesdays this week, because
yeah,
there's some axes to grind in that one. So
we'll be there at Tuesday sometime.
We'll do a late.
Don't you dare tease us, Kevin.
We'll do a late one night and get you in on a dickhead Tuesday. That might get dirty. That could get dirty. appreciate everyone. By the time you listen to this, you can't buy anymore, but appreciate everybody who also supported this latest Christmas drop. We're excited to see all that Goat Wallace merch and other stuff as well. 370.
Goat Wallace sell well.
I haven't got reports on the numbies, but we got a decent amount of social interaction and hype on that one. So yeah. 372. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you on Thursday. Peace.